Welcome to Circle of Hearts Radio. Journey with Grandmother Aliyah as she enters her magical world of relics, sacred sites, and ancient crystal skulls. Meet with exciting trailblazer authors and individuals shifting the consciousness of humanity. Send her your questions to be answered on air on her monthly segment, Ask the Oracle. And now your host, Grandmother Aliyah, in the sanctuary on the airwaves on Om Times Radio.
Welcome to Circle of Hearts Radio on Om Times Radio. Very glad to have you this day. We have a very important discussion going on, so I'd like to get right with it. We have a very important movement going on in the world, and it's really turned into a global event. I'm very glad to have Jim Graywolf-Petrosi on and Adam Dubin of Florida, and they're very reliable sources. And Jim has been with this movement really since the beginning, and I know Adam has joined in. So let's find out some updates of what's happening. And Jim, you there?
I am.
Jim. Hey,
yep,
great.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
You've been there since the beginning of this. It started off with, you know, the Standing Rock camp. And when we first started talking about this movement, it was more or less a protest. When do you think the shift happened, that all of a sudden people kind of woke up to this, water is life, and, you know, there's some serious things going on?
Yeah, that's a good question. It started as a water is life protest, you're right, with water protectors appearing up in Standing Rock. And, of course, that's still going on, and that's still the lead protest of all of them. I think it's been a process, really. It's actually still happening. A lot of people have not latched on to the fact that this needs to be, we say, water is life is not just a protest, it's a movement. It really needs to be, because any single protest, and there's thousands going on around the world now, it's fascinating, but any single protest can be beaten. With the amount of resources, money, political power that's put against these things, they're going to smash any protest, I think, if they try long enough and hard enough. However, when we start uniting all these protests, it gets much more difficult to stop what's going on.
I'm honestly amazed. I figured I've been totally ignorant of what's been going on. I mean, since I got involved, it just blows my mind, you know, to really think how we've overlooked our waters. And, you know, the ability to have clean drinking water and to see how many leaks there are. I know toward the end of the show, I'm going to ask you and Adam, you know, to give everybody contact information. But how's Standing Rock doing?
I think Standing Rock is doing well. They're dealing with issues, as you do whenever you do something like this. A winter up there is not something to be taken lightly. I've been there. I know that. They've been hitting blizzard conditions for weeks. Temperatures can go to 20, 30, even 40 below. So that puts a crimp in things. However, at the same time, it's pretty much stopped the pipeline company from doing very much currently as well. The big thing with Standing Rock is waiting to see with our new administration coming in, what happens next?
Yeah, well, that's even scarier.
Yep.
But for a while there was all this disruption and, you know, basically attack on them. You know, like you said, political pressure. All right, who's going to win this? You know, we're going to make it so difficult for you. And they stood their ground, and I can't And it just seems to be constantly strengthening. People are getting stronger and stronger, but no way.
Yeah, the people up there, and as well as the other sites, we can ask Adam about Florida, but the people up in Standing Rock, I'm constantly amazed that they have managed to stay peaceful. They've let all the aggression come out on the side of the police and the military and everything else they've pulled in there. That's one heck of an accomplishment. Truthfully, I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could be on the front lines because aggression like that would probably trigger some of my old knee-jerk reactions. But they have managed to do that, and I think that's what's really captured hearts of everybody. And, you know, you're not late to this. It wasn't being covered.
No, I mean, I was glad that I was able to connect with you, actually, through Charlie Riverman. You know, when I first caught my eye and that, you know, we got involved in bringing these messages out. And I had asked Jim and others, you know, I'd like to do this like a once a month, you know, constantly keep on putting the information out there with reliable sources because there's so much information. I think it's hard for people to really know what's real and what's not real.
Yeah, that's completely accurate. One of the nice things is we're getting a lot of attacks now in the virtual realm as well. False IDs being put up, people trying to attack those who are leading the virtual part. That tells me we're really doing something right, not only in the physical realm, but in letting people know around the world what's going on.
Well, like I said, I know on this media, you know, you and all the others, you know, have a voice, which, you know, I'm really pleased that we can get some information out there because, like you said, the false reports. I mean, I do watch the feeds. I do watch what's happening. And after a while, you don't know. So when you can get some reliable information out there, you know, it's good.
Yep. Yeah, let me, I'd like to talk briefly on that. You know, we are currently in a time where misinformation and patently false information is being passed around as fact. We saw these things with the election. We've been seeing it for a bit. You know, we've been paying attention to the news. Facebook has been working on adding algorithms to address it. So it's a problem all around. This is something that we're sort of inundated with now, this misinformation, this society that would prefer to be told what it wants to hear as opposed to what needs to be heard. So one of the things that Jim and I are really focused on here is making sure that we vet the facts, making sure that what we put out there is legitimate. You know, any sort of money and donations, you know, we vet that very heavily as well to make sure that, you know, these scam artists and these other, you know, people who are out there, and they are out there, and we find them. You know, we're making sure that we take care of them, and we make sure that the information that we are spreading is based on fact. You know, we're dealing with something that is very highly emotional when we talk about clean water. And it should be highly emotional because clean water is the essence of our lives. You know, human beings are on average are 65% water at any given time, which makes water the most prevalent molecule in your body. So it's something to be passionate about. But when emotions run high, that's where people's guards start to fall down and they become less and less critical of the information that they're given. So the leaders of the Water is Life movement are focused on helping mitigate some of the emotional aspects by keeping things as factually based as possible.
Which is also great because, like I said, Facebook, I think, was great in bringing out saying, okay, you know, there's a problem and people, you know, rallying to it. What bothers me is the marketers. You know, people like to wear their messages And you have, you don't know whether some of these people are saying, hey, look at this with this T-shirt. You know, you walk out there, you're sharing a message, which in theory is a good idea. But we don't know if anything's coming back, you know, to the movement.
Right.
So
I think, like Jim said earlier, you know, we're going up against big pocketbooks. So, you know, these big businesses, you know, up there, big oil, down here, is, you know, hydrocarbons, and big sugar is a big thing down here in Florida as well. They have the war coffers, you know, filled to deal with us, to, you know, pay fines. You know, they have all this figured out. These big businesses, these big corporations didn't just automatically become big and, you know, powerful. There are a lot of smart, conniving minds behind it. And so you have to respect it. In that capacity. So, yeah, there are, you know, when you say marketers, I mean, you know, there are people who are shills, or there are people who are, you know, more interested in whatever money that the petroleum companies have to offer than, well, you know, the value of having clean water. So they're out there. They're out there. And, you know, that's why Jim and I and many others are focused. But yeah, I mean, it is. And that's the world we live in right now. We're, you know, 2017 is going to be a really interesting year because things are not quite what most of us would want it to be right now. And so, you know, there is some fear, but, you know, really we need to make sure that we don't act upon our fears, that, you know, we keep ourselves calm, collected, peaceful, use information and knowledge to our benefit, to our power, and also use unity and, you know, the power of the masses to make that difference. And that's the only way we're going to do this. We have to join together, all of us. And, you know, the many will defeat the few.
Another thing, you know, I'll be back.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. OM Times. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
In the last segment, you heard Adam Stubman speak, and I'd like you to learn a little bit more about him. He's been working quite a bit with Jim on this Water is Life movement. Now, Adam, can you give a little bit of a background, you know, to the listeners, and what's going on in Florida?
Well, sure. So my background, I'm a fifth-generation Floridian. I grew up around water all of my life. You know, I grew up on a lake. I surfed. I played water polo in college. And I also have a master's degree in environmental archaeology. So I've got a practical and an academic knowledge of water, geology, of the things that, you know, are important aspects of the whole system. So what's going on in Florida? Now, me personally, my Save Florida Waters Now project is a documentary and activist movement aimed at joining Floridians together under the common bond of water. So what I'm doing is I'm going to different parts of the state, and I'm talking to people about their different various water issues and using these various water issues to kind of bring everybody together so that they realize that they're all sharing the same issue. Everything is still in their backyards. So the main thing, though, that I think you want to hear about what's happening in Florida, because there's plenty happening down there when it comes to waters. But the big thing right now is the Sable Trail Pipeline. So the Sable Trail Pipeline is a 515-mile frack gas pipe. It's 3 feet in diameter. It runs from Alabama through southern Georgia down through right through the heart of Spring Country in an area where the aquifer is fully exposed. And is only really just it's called karst topography, which is basically a limestone that separates the top, the ground, to the aquifer below. This pipeline ends in Reunion, Florida, which is interestingly not too far from Walt Disney World. Along the way, there will be 3 compressor stations in Florida, 5 compressor stations all in all. These compressor stations are how they keep the pressure up in the pipeline to keep things flowing. And what they do, though, is they will outgas when the pressure is too high, meaning that they'll just release this gas into the atmosphere, into the local atmosphere. And then just to let you know, so this gas is not a refined gas like you would get if you get a propane tank from Walmart. This is unrefined gas that has been basically freshly fracked. So you're going to have the adulterants that the fracking process carries with it, as well as the natural adulterants that other chemicals that are in there. So it's supposed to be methane, but really you have a lot of the amines in there, propane, butane, and then you're going to have a lot of things like you're going to have some carcinogens, or you're going to have some toxins. This is just a lot of bad stuff in there. So we're concerned about that. So even if we don't have a rupture of the pipe, we're still getting this stuff pumped through our state and pushed out into the atmosphere intermittently from time to time. One of the things we're also concerned about is the process itself of building these pipelines requires a very intrusive construction method called horizontal directional drilling. And I mentioned the karst topography. This is a very fragile geologic formation, and does not do well with heavy machinery boring through it. This area is one of the most common areas for sinkholes in the world. And sinkholes happen all the time. It's a natural thing to happen. But it actually happens more than it should because we're drawing so much water out of the aquifer, more than we can put back because of the population issue we have, that sinkholes are endemic. And so the big fear is that a sinkhole will eventually, and it's not really a fear, it's going to happen, it's just a matter of time, when the sinkhole will open up under the pipeline. So that's the big deal right now. We've got a couple camps set up that have been involved in direct action for the last few months, and we're looking to beef that up. Though we are looking long-term, like I said at the beginning, Florida has a lot of water problems. We have a problem with Lake Okeechobee, where Big Sugar is polluting it to the point that where they're getting algal blooms and fish kills and manatee kills all the way out on the coast of Florida. The pipeline's the main thing right now, but we're going to be looking long-term here in Florida because the water is life fight is going to – we need to be trenched in here.
I'm aware of the sinkholes of Florida. I've seen, people in their backyards with these. I mean, it's frightening just to see on a personal level. What's scary?
Yeah,
I mean, are you rounding up people's attention? Because I know myself that either I was very naive. You go through life, you think everything's okie dokie, and then all of a sudden you find this information and go, "Oh my God, this is not good."
Yeah.
How do we, are people starting to really take notice and saying, if we don't do something, we're really going to mess? How did they get away with it?
Well, they got away with it because none of us were paying attention, because we're all sitting back thinking what you just said.
And I'm not pointing the finger at us, but, you know, life was comfortable. Suddenly we started seeing some of the effects, not to mention that we're seeing the effects of climate change. And these things are all interrelated. I mean, the fossil fuel industry is the biggest culprit in the amazing and strange weather effects we're having due to climate change. I mean, come on, we're having floods and landslides at the same time they're getting 4 feet of snow in California, all in the same place. Along the East Coast, you're getting snow where you never got it before. I mean, on and on and on. So I think those things started to wake us up. The interesting thing is, because we're getting the word out there, we could put a lot of people on. Now, Adam's one of the first who really understood this and saw this has to be, you know, I'm focused on Florida, but we got to connect these together. His story we could repeat probably in every state in the nation or darn near. And beyond that, I got some nice messages this morning from some friends in Great Britain. They now have four camps set up in Great Britain as well. So this thing has gone global very, very fast. We are starting to worry. You know, we used to say in the Native tradition, we worry about the seven generations, those who will be here seven generations after us. We don't want to do anything that will make their life difficult or impossible. Well, suddenly, we have to worry about us. We have to worry about this current generation and the one immediately after it, because we could easily destroy everything if we allow this to continue. These folks who are doing this have absolutely no regard for the environment, absolutely no regard for people. If they did, they wouldn't be just raping the land to get the last little drops of oil and gas out of the ground. It's going to end before long. There's only so much in the earth. And we have the capacity. We have all the alternative abilities there. There's countries now that are totally running on alternative fuels. We just have not demanded that of our political entities. And that's what we're doing now. That's what Standing Rock started. That's what I call the heroes at Standing Rock kicked off. They stood up and said no. Flint was before them. Flint actually happened with all the pipes and the bad water, but they didn't get any kind of coverage, nor did Standing Rock. That's where the rest of us stood up and said, okay, if the media won't cover this, if it's being suppressed, if the media is owned by the same people who own the oil companies and the gas companies, then we will become the media. And that's what you're seeing happen. And, of course, this radio show is part of that, as are all the shows we've been on around the world now.
Yeah, I'm grateful. I just,
yeah,
you know,
me too.
Because of my own, because of my own awareness, it's like, where was I all these years? I mean, even in Jersey, it's a very industrial area, and there's parts of central Jersey where, you know, big companies polluted the waters, then they go, oh, well, I guess we're going to shut down and not do anymore, but the water's still there.
Right.
And
I'm chuckling because there's a huge effort beginning in New Jersey right now, and actually that's another Native American effort.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to, you know, of course, getting back to you on that one.
Yeah.
My epiphany point actually came a few years back with the Gowanus Canal in Brooklyn. And coming from Florida and living in New York, our waters are really nice in Florida. We have some of the most clear, pure waters in the world. Although we do have some not so great waters too. But seeing an industrial Superfund site really planted the seed in my mind that I would have to do something about this one day. And because I certainly don't want to see our waters in Florida end up like that. I don't want to see waters anywhere end up like that. So New Jersey, New York, all up in there, we've already had our lessons in bad water. We should know better now.
But what bothers me, and I know on the next segment I'm going to get into it, even with Flint, you know, I look at this water, you know, people, you know, have the thing, and they show it, you know, to the council, and it's like, well, what do you want us to do about it? I can't believe there's no resolution.
And
so
that goes even goes beyond the Water is Life movement. And Water is Life movement, of course, is a great tool for us to use to start saying that's enough. It goes to the fact that our governments have failed us. And I'm not talking about whether you're Republican or Democrat or whatever. They've all failed us. The super rich own not only the companies, they own the politicians, and they own the media. It's very difficult to get anything known, and that's what the people in Flint discovered. I'm going to be heading to the Texas camp soon and then down with Adam a while in Florida and hopefully into the Flint area on the way back because they want to meet. It's been suppressed for so long, and the people with the power have seen that they're able to do anything they want for so long because no one speaks up, that they're probably amazed this is happening now. I know they're scared because I see the responses are just way beyond, I think, what is required by the protests, which are peaceful.
I just think people didn't know what to do. You know, they said, all right, I don't like this. I don't want it. We have no support. So it seems like Standing Rock, which is very symbolic, really, is standing strong.
Yep.
And they're saying, okay, well, join with us. You know, and we'll make the, you know, let all the outreach lines will all come together and we'll just basically look at who's ever, you know, causing the problems and saying no. You know, we're not accepting this. So there's got to be some answer to it. So
it does have,
all the work that you're doing is great. Go ahead.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's taking time because we're also dealing with human emotions, human feelings. Adam mentioned earlier, a lot of people make money off the fossil fuel industry, and they don't understand, they won't accept, or haven't been educated to the fact that there's actually a lot more money and sustainable money to be made in sustainable energy fields. Now, Adam can talk a bit because they've got a lot of different groups in Florida, and I think they're very different demographics, and that's difficult too. Isn't it, Adam?
Yeah. Actually, though, before I step into that, I want to stick on the money bit for just a moment here. So we haven't mentioned the divest movement that is currently building up. So I don't know if you saw the news, but last Sunday at a Vikings game, NFL football game, some protesters unveiled a banner, no DAPL, divest. So just to clue you in, so the divestment movement, what we're looking to do is get people to take their money out of the banks who are invested in the fossil fuel industries. And what we want them to do is take them out of those banks, put them into credit union, put them into more grassroots, local banking types, and so it's a credit union. So this is a big thing. I understand something like $50 million has been divested already. We're having a big event on the 20th of January to rally to get people to divest. So we're one of the ways of attacking the black snake is to cut off its funds.
All right, and I'll continue when we come back, okay?
Uh-huh.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com. And change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, join us, Lisa Berry and Michelle Carter, every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for the Mindset Makeover, What's Possible? Get ready to become present, clear, and unstuck, and start living fully, led by your heart. while you listen and feel this transformation through vibration of word, sound, and song, you'll open up to what's possible and experience your shift.
Hey, this is Reva McIntyre, and I wanted to talk to you about a serious problem right here in our own backyard. Did you know that there are nearly 16 million kids struggling with hunger in America? That's why the Feeding America Nationwide Network of Food Banks collects surplus food, engaging their communities in solving hunger and giving hope to hungry kids and their families. But they need your help. Support Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, and as we continue,
Right. So I'll just wrap up. Yeah, I'll wrap up. So what I was saying is, one of the ways that we're looking to fight the black snake is to cut its funding as best as we can. So there's currently a big movement out there to get people to take their monies out of these banks. Wells Fargo is one of them. There's a list out there that you can find. And so that's a big thing that we're doing. Now, down in Florida, Jim alluded to the diversity of what we have down there. So Florida is an interesting state, and one of the reasons why we feel like it's probably going to be a model that we can use as we go from state to state and maybe even country to country is because of its diversity and because of the different areas of the state have different problems. And they're kind of isolated because of that. And so, we've got the coastal elites, quote unquote. We know we have the agriculture inner part of the state. We've got the southern part of the state versus the northern part of the state. And we've got a panhandle that's almost more like Alabama than it is Florida. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot of diversity in the people that we have. And that diversity is a good thing in the long run, because if you can bring people of diverse backgrounds together in a common cause, then you've got something very powerful. But there's it's a challenge. It's a very steep uphill challenge at the beginning to make that happen. But so we've got a couple of camps already set up with a few more coming. The Native Americans, the Miccosukees, and the Seminoles are involved. And at this moment, I can't give you a clear indication of what is about to happen, but there's a lot of discussions, and very shortly there is going to be just things are going to start to roll. We have a mass disobedience planned this coming so January 14th and 15th, so the next weekend. And at this mass disobedience, there we expect a lot of people, and it's going to be up near the or on the historic Suwannee River. So if you've heard the song Way Down Along the Suwannee River, it's that river that they're drilling under, and they will be protesting. Up until now, we have been peaceful. There has been no violence down here. But we have been arrested. We've had a lot of water protectors arrested here, 14 in one scoop, a couple in another scoop. One person who was arrested is a military veteran. Another was a landowner who lived right down the river from where she was protesting. So we've got people are out and active, but we are still reaching out to get more. My role as a documentarian and as an organizer, I'm really more working on putting together a message or going out and doing a Facebook live feeds to show people what's happening. And as I've done that, I've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people come up and engage me, and we discuss what's going on. And I explain to them what's happening, and people, like Jim said, I mean, this has been going on under our noses. There's a certain amount of complacency our society has. We also live in a disposable society, so there's a problem. People don't see the wrong in just throwing everything away and just destroying everything. As we push towards this paradigm shift, we're going to have to open more eyes. And it's not an easy thing, but if we all do it together, and you don't have to be an activist to do what we're doing. All you have to do is sit down at the table with your family, with your friends, talk to them about clean water, ask them how they feel about it. Talk to them about, why don't you think that we should be more protective of our waters, and engage in that dialogue. And that in itself will get the movement moving forward more and more.
Well, I'm kind of, didn't mean to interrupt, but it was popped in my head. Have you enlisted the seniors I mean, just because you hit 60 doesn't mean you become brain dead. I know in Florida, it's known for retirement. And I think, even myself, I'm an old hippie. You know, it's like, get the juices going again, you know, in a lot of these people. And if they, you know, they're the ones to talk to their families. They're the ones that are going to be worried about their grandchildren. I think getting them involved will get them life. And a lot of brain power is still there, you know, as far as their purpose and education.
Well, that is one of the many various populations we have down here. So we do have the retirement population, but they actually tend to be insulated in their communities. They tend to be, you know, we have called the Villages, which is a major retirement community in North Florida. You'll find them there, but not really out in the country as much. And then, you know, the coastal south of Florida, you know, that's where it's really, you have that population prevalent. But up north, you know, where the drilling is going on, there's actually not a whole lot of, retirement communities, except for that Villages place. So they represent a block of voting, you know, who they tend to be more conservative. You know, they tend to, you know, focus more on their, you know, their late life entitlements and things like that. And, you know, some of them do think about the future, about their grandkids. But a lot of times you have to introduce that idea to them. Really, a lot of them are just, you know, a lot of them are like, F it. I'm not going to be here for much longer. What do I care? And that is, sadly, a very, very common attitude. So, you know, I'm only going to be here for 10 more years. I don't care. So that is, you know, that's something that we do deal with a lot.
I can see that. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm just thinking this is tapping into another really neat stream here. First of all, I just have to do this while we have Adam here. I thought Florida was a place you went to die. Oh, well, sorry. That's what I've been told.
God's waiting room. God's waiting
room. That's it.
What I've heard.
Big room. But, yeah, forgetting about the kidding around. Standing Rock actually was begun by young people. A lot of young people went to LaDonna Howard, who is pretty much the founder of the whole thing, along with a few other elders. She's the one who has Sacred Stone Camp on her own property. So this was begun by young people. This needs everybody. I totally agree that some of us who are old hippies need to be involved, but we need to be involved sharing the message, supporting, getting out there and backing things up. Then we need the younger people to step up and do their parts. And we're starting to see that. Actually, on next month's show, I'm hoping to bring in Tasha Hanna, who's part of our group and who's a young woman. She's 27 years old and working with us on this whole project so we can hear from some of the younger voices. It's really, really critical. This cannot be about seniors, cannot be just about youth, cannot just be about Native Americans, cannot just be about white people. This is in the prophecies of the Native Americans, the coming together of the four colors, which means all people coming together, no matter what color your skin, no matter what religion, no matter what age or gender. That's how we're going to win this war. And I use the word war, and some people cringe, even in our own group. This is a war. The protest movements are battles, but the whole movement, the whole overall thing, is a war. Now, we can fight it peacefully, and I think we need to, because it's a spiritual war as well. But it's a war, and we have to take it seriously, and we have to follow up with things. And Adam and myself and my wife and a bunch of other people within the group have been doing this now for months, not to mention what people are doing on the ground. But, you know, there's like people who are doing things on the ground have all they can in their hands just to deal with what's going on in the ground. It takes a lot of energy and a lot of time and a lot of careful thought. And so both the physical and the virtual realms are critical in this war, I think.
Yeah, I agree with
absolutely.
You.
And I want to add to what Jim said about the youth part, and I don't want to be divisive because he's right, like we need everybody involved. But when I think about the youth and when I'm doing my organizing, I focus on the youth because one of the things that we need moving forward, if we're going to correct our problems in the long term, is we need better politicians. We need to start nurturing the type of people that we want to elect in office, people who are going to be water protectors, go to their state capitals, go to the nation's capital, or even, their county seat, whatever level it's at. Have people who are water conscious involved. Getting those young people involved, we are cultivating our next generation of politicians. So this is our opportunity to play the long game. Because our opponent, the big companies, the public interests in big government, this is a long game they're playing. They've been doing this since the late 60s. This is not a brand new thing. And the reason why the progressives and the liberals have been falling behind is that we're not playing the game long like they are. And it seems like the progressives make some advances, and then bam, they lose it again because these people, the money drives them so strongly that there's nothing that's going to divert them from their goal of getting absolutely everything they can. So it is a war. And I know that language is strong, but what we're dealing with is a very strong issue. It's a very massive issue. And so it's going to be a struggle. There's going to be a lot of money involved. But the thing we keep coming back to is united, we will win. It's a matter of just all of us realizing, that these very basic objective truths that we need clean water to live, period. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts.
Now, I sometimes wonder if we shouldn't even start younger than that. I was going to say the Earth Guardians group is,
Well, there is a video.
Prevalent. Because Yeah, go ahead, please.
Oh, okay. So there's actually one of our water protector media gurus here, Dylan Hansen, released a video a couple days ago of an elementary school-aged young boy standing outside his school and talking about the Sable Trail pipeline. And a very precocious young kid, and a very, very powerful message.
All right. Well, continue this. Time goes too fast.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness and action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
People are always looking to invest in a good opportunity. So what if you could invest in the future of kids, like a stock? Not the kind of stock that's about making money, but a stock for social change called Better Futures. With your investment, it helps students like me go to college. My name is Charles, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Okay, continue your thought, and then unfortunately, we're heading toward the last thing. I want you to be able to, both get out some contact information. I know.
Was it Jim? I really didn't have much more to say. Jim. I am giving you a link to the video I was referring to. So if you can post that with whatever you put up on the web when you finish. That will help everybody.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
What I'm talking about.
I'm looking at it now. Yeah. Oh, well.
It's a very, very powerful piece. Dylan Hansen is extremely talented. So go ahead on. I'm ready to move on.
Do both of you think it's a matter of maybe just approaching each thing? I mean, there's so much talk about even Corpus Christi. I have family there. And on that last, you know, water thing, you know, my husband called his sister. And he says, what are you doing? She goes, I'm in the car looking for water. What do you mean you're in the car looking for water? Well, they were told, I guess, there was a petroleum product that seeped into the water, so, you know, they couldn't use it, and it was very caustic, et cetera. And then prior to that, you know, it was like, well, there was four times they had problems, but that was with sewage. And I'm going, people just take it for granted. Okay, we can't use the water, so let's go buy some water. What happens when you can't buy any water? You know, if everything is so polluted, I'm just amazed. That's all I can say.
Water is just another commodity to these companies. The big culprit there, of course, is Nestle's and their 150 different companies they own. They're buying up water all over the planet day by day so that when the time comes water is scarce, they can sell it back to people at an incredible price. I don't think that plan will work. I think we will crash that as we go along, too. But it's all part of the same package. They're trying to make us completely dependent on fossil fuels, on them controlling the resources, et cetera, et cetera. That's what we're trying to take back. That's what we will take back. That's what the Water is Life movement is about. That's what Flint was about and Standing Rock and Florida and Texas. And, I mean, I can go on and on and on with the issues and the places. Our job creating the Water is Life movement rather than individual protests is to get the word out. And we're having some success now. Matter of fact, we're having a lot of success. First of all, people like Adam and I are finding each other. A lot of us are finding each other, and that's critical. So just by becoming the media, just by the virtual realm, suddenly we're seeing people we never knew, some of them halfway around the world, and saying, okay, we're of like mind now. What do we do? So that's a huge piece, in my opinion. Our nonprofit, Sanctuaries of the Earth Mother, which I created with some other people about 7 years ago, has now taken this on as a primary mission. So we've used it as a place to house the movement and have, you know, a nonprofit status to help us do that. Out of that has come some initiatives that I think will really help. One of them is a documentary that we're starting on now. We're getting ready to write some grants along with another nonprofit that does documentaries. And they air these documentaries on PBS. You'll see things online on this very soon. We're working on the materials now to give them to write the grants. There's a lot of documenting going on of the individual movements, individual protest, and I think that's incredible. Adam and other people in Florida are doing an amazing job. The people in Texas, brand new, are starting to do a great job. Of course, we've got now tons of people hanging all over Standing Rock because it became fashionable when I was there. I didn't see anybody with a camera except me. But anyway, we're going to document the movement and what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll be visiting some of these sites. We will be recording people, but we won't. A professional organization will be. And then we'll be airing it on PBS. It gets aired for, I think, 6 months. We'll be taking it to other places to show it. It'll become another tool because we need some tools to show to the broader population, just like this show is today. Your listeners are not just people who are in the virtual realm. And we have to be careful. We don't only hit the people who are in the virtual realm because that's only a little less than 40% of the population. We have to hit these other venues so it gets out to everybody. Education is our biggest tool, as it always is, I think, in anything. I remember, you know, you talked about it earlier, but I remember from the Vietnam War protest, from the women's rights protest, from Martin Luther King and his movement. It was educating and getting the word out that made the difference. That's what turned the corner. And I think that's what's going to happen now. So I invite everybody to stay with us on the social media or check out the website. And when the time comes, step up and support the documentary on this movement that we're going to be doing.
I think, really, from what I'm seeing, there's a lot of water people on Facebook that have these sites on water that, I mean, are truly dedicated to it. And I'm often wondering, wonderful, we can somehow incorporate it into one informational place. That will probably eventually happen. We're trying to hit all these, so many people, which I'm grateful, shared, the program. Hey, listen, you'll be able to get some information, and this is one way of getting it out there. But eventually, I think a lot of people, like you said, are waking up, and it's just, this is important. Without water, there's no life. I mean, that's a big thump in the head there. Don't think that someone is going to miraculously, make something happen. It's, you have to make it happen. So I'm glad that, we're going to have these programs. I think eventually this information, people are going to find out where they can connect. And I'll find a way to put out all these links that you sent me, either on a page or something to, get it together.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
And we'll start. So just keep on sending them. And I'll, like I said, whether I just make a page of it, because I'm not looking for ratings. This is a real eye-opener for me, and I can't believe how dense I was. I really, like I said, I got comfortable in life, and, water's always there. Then you see all these videos and say, oh, my God, we're in trouble. We got to stop this. I mean, even Al Gore, he great environmentalist, and he got slapped in the head. Basically, people said, he's just making things up.
Yeah, that is a problem. So, global warming actually is one of the best representations of the misinformation era that we live in. There's just, they want the people on the other side, the people who are making money on the fossil fuels and the people who are gaining because of climate change. They've just been spitting out nonsense all of this time. So we've been trying to hear through a filter, hear all this like white noise and hear that the message, and it has not been getting across until recently. And now people are fed up with the media. People are fed up with government on both sides of the aisle, like Jim said earlier. And we're empowering ourselves now. So things are changing in the ways that, information is being disseminated with social media, taking out the big media filter. That's been an important part of what we're doing. And that component of what we're doing alone may be part of what the changes that we see in our society, in our nation, in these coming years.
Yeah, I've been in talks with Charlie. I know we're going to be running out soon. We always mention you have a choice. Make, discernible choices in your life, because this is how it affects reality. So even the people in big business, I don't know whether they're so programmed to think it doesn't apply to them. They have to kill the earth and all life. That somehow they're going to, shoot up in a rocket into another planet or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Doesn't make any sense, does it?
They really need to realize this is going to affect them. It's going to affect their children. It's going to affect all the future children. A no-brainer. Big business. If you kill off life, you don't have anything to sell to other people, I mean, that's my way of thinking.
Yep.
They really need to rethink this. So I see we only have a few minutes, and I really am going to get the whatever this video that you sent me out. It's really great. And every month, please, anybody that wants to talk on the Water of Life, you know, that you know that's reputable, or the documentaries or anything, you know, let's get it out there. Let's use social media to our advantage.
Yeah, so I mean, it's making a difference. You know, we'll also, I'm just remembering, on the 17th, I think from 6:30 to 8:30 Mountain Standard Time, which is where I am, I'm hosting a little event here, a meeting of our local group that we've started. But we've decided, thanks to a friend who's coming up from Denver, to live stream it. And so Adam will be joining in there to talk about Florida. We'll have someone else join in from Texas, Luis. We have someone joining in from Flint, Michigan. And I think we may have one other person. All of them will be talking about their own protest in their state, but then also talking about how we join these things together. So again, if you go online, you will see links for this.
Well, I thank you.
We're being played out.
And keep in touch, and we got a whole year of these programs that are going to be going out. I need people like you. And like I said, I'll find a way to get all everything that you sent send me out, okay? So thanks, Jim.
Thank you very much.
Adam. It was a great show. Bye-bye.
Thanks for having us.
Okay.